Hi, this is Kim Catola. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Cradle My Heart Radio. You can hear the show live on Sundays at 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central, and there are many more podcasts for this and all of our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thank you for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Catola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
So glad that you are here with us tonight, because we have a very special guest. Reverend Alveda King is going to join us in just moments, and I want to get to her without very much ado. But I also want to start tonight from God's Word. And he has really chosen a beautiful theme for this program, I think, because the issue of abortion in our past can make so many of us feel as though whoever we are now in Christ, we are somehow disqualified from fully serving him. We look around and we think, if anybody knew, or some other thought that is not from God, that's coming out of our guilt or something unresolved. There are many, many reasons why this may happen. But I want to start with this excerpt from Colossians 1. And it's a compression of verses 12 through 14. And this is for you tonight, if you have ever felt disqualified because of your past for ministry. It says, "The Father has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us, redeemed us through his blood, as we are forgiven of all sin." I hope that you will receive that, and I hope that as we speak with Reverend Dr. Alveda King tonight, you will be encouraged that your past is not your destiny. Your past does not determine your future. Alveda King is the author of a book not yet released, soon to be released, King Rules. She's also the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and she shares that message in a deeply personal collection of hard-learned lessons, timeless truths, foundational principles, that lesson of what it takes to be a family and what family values really look like in the King family. Her words, lovingly crafted yet refreshingly blunt at a time when that is really needed to counter the forces of moral drift and empty relativism. And she starts with the very vulnerable admission of her own wounds and wanderings, and then unfolds these core values that have guided her family through generations of triumph and tragedy. She sets the record straight on a few things about her uncle, as well as helping us get to know her father and other key family members better. Reverend King, welcome back to Cradle My Heart Radio. It's so nice to speak with you tonight.
It's wonderful to join you again, and I was listening to that powerful scripture. I'm also reminded, you know, in Romans 7, Paul is saying things that he shouldn't do, he does, and things he should do, he doesn't. And then you go on into Romans 8, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. So once we repent, we are forgiven, we're redeemed, we're restored, and we're ready to go ahead and be a witness. And that's the position from which I deliver my own pro-life testimony, my post-abortion healing experiences, and then go out to combat and help others to. The best scenario is when there are people who say, well, I'm just going to be celibate or abstinent until I get married, and when I'm ready to be a parent, we'll do it God's way. That's the best one. And then if I meet a young lady who is pregnant and if she's challenged and the father perhaps needs some help too to lead them to Christ, and then it goes on from there to those who are like I am, post-abortive, and leading us to repentance and healing. So that's the approach that we use.
I love your spirit so much. I thank you for just coming up out of the chute with ministry for us and helping us understand from your transparency, from God's word, what the truth is. And this is what I always appreciate about every time I listen to you, every time I speak with you. It's just a blessing so much. And I think about, we're going to talk, by the way, Reverend King's only with us for this first half hour. So if you are of a mind to get a phone call in, now is your chance. Don't wait. We always get a lot of calls the second half of the program, but our phones are open tonight and we're live. 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003. You can go to cradlemyheart.org if you didn't catch the number. And you could also send us an email message if you can't get to the phone. We'll try to relate it that way, too. But, you know, in the second half of the program tonight, we're going to talk about the one leper who returned to thank Jesus for what he did. And I have a feeling that that was not the end of the story for that person, for that Samaritan, much less a Samaritan leper, lower than low. Because what happens is when we return and give thanks, Alvita, God just so honors that, and he just opens up doors for us with an anointing for ministry.
That is so true. And as we, you know, I'm very familiar with that one. So, and often in other accounts in the scripture, many were healed, but very few would go back to give glory to God and to tell others about how good a God has been. And so it's very important. Our testimonies are very important because they give glory to God and they encourage others to accept that same path and that same walk.
So tell us a little bit, if you will. I know it's always a personal story, but you've said that you have abortion in your past. For those who are not familiar with your testimony, with your history, tell us a little bit about that, what we need to know about what God has done for you on that score.
Well, I had two abortions and a miscarriage that was connected to various complications of the what we call abortive facet, and that's the experimental drugs they give us, and they call it birth control. And that they manipulate the hormones or devices that are put into our bodies that interrupt our natural God-given right and power to become mothers, you know. So I had those secret abortions. But in 1983, when I was born again, I began to publicly talk about it after I had repented and was on a good path to healing. My grandfather was able to help my mother see that she did not need to abort me in 1950 when I was conceived. And people said, well, abortion was illegal. What was she going to do? Well, she was not going to a back alley. She was just going to a sympathetic doctor who would do a local DNC in his office. But she was convinced by my grandfather, who had seen me in a dream 3 years prior to my birth, and he could perfectly describe me and say that I was a girl. And then I was going to have another abortion. I had had the two secret abortions, and I was going to have another one. But I mentioned that time, for some reason, I told my grandfather, because I was divorced by then. I was living with him. I said, you know, I'm going to get an abortion. It's a legal procedure. It's like getting a tooth pulled. And he says, you know, they're lying to you. That's not a lump of flesh. That's my great-grandchild. So as a result, today I have six living adult children and nine grandchildren. And a very blessed life due to the repentance and the being healed formally at Rachel's Vineyard Healing Ministry, which works very closely with Priests for Life, where I'm director of African American Outreach. And as the daughter of Reverend A.D. King and the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., I've got a new book called King Rules, 10 Rules that will help the individual, the family, the community, and the world to prosper. So I write about a lot of these experiences in that book as well.
And we appreciate the fact that we do have some available for our callers tonight at 800-811-3003 with your question or comment for Reverend King. We will get a copy into your hands. 800-811-3003 is our number. 800-811-3003. And I've heard you answer this question, but again, for those not familiar with it, some people say, well, now wait a minute, your uncle, Martin Luther King, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., was pro-choice. Tell us, it's a little more complicated than that. It's a little more subtle than that. Tell us how things really stood with him on this question.
Well, my uncle was very much like President George W. Bush or President Daddy Bush, and they are pro-life. They weren't always pro-life, but they received ministry and understanding, and they became pro-life. Martin Luther King Jr. was offered the Planned Parenthood Maggie Award in 1966. His wife was pro-choice. He was not. And Daddy Bush and George W. Bush are pro-life, and their wives are pro-choice, believing that a woman has a right to abort a child if she chooses to do that. And so my uncle did not attend the award ceremony. He did not write the speech. He did not read the speech. His wife went to try to further that cause in his stead. So Martin Luther King Jr., I mean, he said injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. He, in his Christmas sermon, which was preached just a few months before he was assassinated, he said, when we love people and regard the human personality, we won't kill anybody. He warned against abortion in his 1950s advice column to Ebony Magazine. So he actually, like his father and like my father, his brother, Reverend A.D. King, we have been a pro-life family.
Alveda King is our guest tonight, and we're going to take a short break, and then your phone calls. Don, you're up next at 800-811-3003, and copies of Alveda King's new book, King Rules, for our callers tonight, 800-811-3003, here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion, Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken again, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
Back to Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free, 800-811-3003.
Our guest tonight is Reverend Dr. Alveda King, the author of the forthcoming book, King Rules. We have some copies of you for your calls with questions or comments for her tonight here at Cradle My Heart Radio. 800-811-3003 is our number. If you want to go on the air, we will get a copy of the book in your hands, 800-811-3003. And Don, thank you for holding for the break. Good to have you with us. Go ahead, please, with your question or comment for Alveda King. Don.
Yes, it's a startling statistic that about 25% of pregnancies are terminated in abortion. And I understand that among African Americans, it's closer to 50%. And a lot of people are not aware of that, but culturally, it's a genocide of the black population. I was wondering your response to that.
Well, actually, of the 55-plus million abortions that have occurred in America that are documented, some by Guttmacher Institute, which is an affiliate of Planned Parenthood, who is the largest abortion provider in America, and that's ironic. But anyway, about almost one-third of those abortions have occurred in the African-American community, even though we're only about 12 to 13% of the population. The reason for that is Planned Parenthood targets minorities and, believe it or not, college students. Now, the college students are secondary to the minorities, but they're looking to make their money and to also do eugenics and genocide to reduce the African-American population. For instance, I was at a Black Summer Festival in Ohio this weekend, and there was a Planned Parenthood table there. So there were two young ladies who were volunteering, and there was a lady who worked for Planned Parenthood who was there supervising them, and they were all African-Americans. So by the time I walked up to the table, told them who I was, told them that Martin Luther King Jr. was not pro-abortion, we noticed that the next day the booth was closed down. Nobody was there. So we don't know if we were able to impact those young people who had been sold a bill of goods. So blacks were targeted. It's a civil rights issue. And saying to black women, it's your civil right to decide to abort a baby. But they couched it in terms like this. Well, it's your body, and it's your civil right to decide what you do with your body. That's true. A woman has the right to choose what she does with her body, but the baby is not her body. Where is the lawyer for the baby? And so many of these abortion facilities are on or near streets named after Martin Luther King in black neighborhoods. The second highest location of them is the college campuses. And so they want to control minority populations, and then they fall back as a second line of income from the college girls. And what they do is to pass out free birth control and promote promiscuity. If you would see the film Blood Money, and I was honored to be the narrator for that film, Carol Everest, who used to own birth control clinics, because she said she started out because she wanted to be rich. She became a millionaire on abortion, and one day it occurred to her that she herself had been personally responsible for the death of several thousand babies, and she realized she couldn't do it anymore, and she repented. So African-American women are targeted with a slick marketing program that makes it look like it's okay, and it's really with a goal in mind to commit genocide.
Don, thank you for your question. Hold on, we'll get your address so we can get you a copy of King Rules. Let's go next to Rwanda. Welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio. You're on with Reverend Alveda King. Go ahead, please, with your question.
I just have a comment, and I want to thank you, Dr. Alveda King, for being bold in exposing the truth with regard to the African-American community, because we're lacking in that. And I just want to say thank you for all the work you've done to spread truth to African-Americans.
Well, thank you for that comment, your support, and your encouragement. And please continue to join me helping to get these truths out.
Thank you for your call, Rhonda. Hang on, and we'll get you a copy of King Rules. We'll need your address. We'll get that off the air. 800-811-3003 is the number. I'd like you, I give you the chance to build on the idea of eugenics and black genocide, and talk about the role of the clergy, the role of the black church. You've helped us understand, if somebody's just listening, you've helped us understand that it's not accurate, it's not correct, it's not fair to say that Martin Luther King Jr. was pro-abortion. And yet we hear that black clergy promoted abortion in black neighborhoods, at least in the early part of the last century. Talk about this, the tension there, and also where things stand today in terms of getting black clergy on board with being pro-life. Are they there yet? Is that happened?
Well, we think if we look at the Bible prior to the birth of Jesus Christ, going back to the Old Testament, when God was working to get a deliverer into the earth who would be Moses, Pharaoh at that time was saying, kill all the little black, all the little boy babies, which all the babies, the Hebrew babies and the Egyptian babies, they were all brown-skinned back then. But he wanted to kill all the babies because he wanted to stop the birth of the deliverer coming forth. At the time of Christ, it had been prophesied that the virgin would conceive and bear a son, and he would become king. And so the human king at that time wanted to kill all the little boy babies up to age two to circumvent that. So that's the same spirit in the eugenics attitude that is all the way now in the 21st century. African-American pastors somehow, and all pastors, it's not limited, you know, because a lot of the Catholic priests won't preach the truth, the evangelicals won't, the Protestants won't.
You're right.
And it just doesn't have anything to do with only African-Americans. But,
That's right.
Pastors, one, there's several reasons. Sometimes post-abortive women don't want the pastor to talk about it, and if he tries or she tries, that's too personal. Why are you talking about that? Or sometimes the pastors are covering up things themselves. If they preach it, sometimes they think that people will stop paying tithes and stop coming to church. We've had all these reasons in all of these. For instance, we have a United States president who supports abortion and homosexual marriage, but 50%, over 50% of Catholics voted for him, over 90% of African Americans, over 50% of women voted for that agenda. So you have to see that the people are in darkness, but the scripture says the people are in darkness, and yet they've seen a great light. So we are working as hard as we can to educate and inform the populace so that the lights will come on and the truth of God and the compassion and love of Jesus can shine through.
Tell me about the, we've just got about 4 or 5 minutes left, and you've written a whole book on this subject, but I want to hear the high-level view of what the King rules are, these principles that you can leave us with tonight, Alveda King, to help us shepherd our families as God would have us.
So we can just quickly do a roll call of the rules. Rule one, make your home a priority. Make home a priority. Serve your family. Get a good education. Guard your heart, and I add your body to that, and that's issues on human sexuality and marriage. Defend life. Care for the needy. Work for justice. No, fight for justice. Work for peace. Find the beloved community, and then build the beloved community and find your joy. And so we go through, these are lessons that I learned as a girl, and I grew up and taught them to my children. When you stumble, you fall, you make mistakes. In our imperfection, we find that we have to go to Psalms 51 and repent, and God is there to help us to continue. So those are those rules, and there's something there for everybody, and there's quite a bit of scripture interwoven into those chapters.
Mm. As a final question to you, you were very forthcoming in the opening comments that you made in our conversation tonight, Alveda, about abortion in your past, as I have been. And I can only do that because of what God has done for me, and I'm sure you would say something similar. And I know that as I was making that decision about whether or not to start talking about it and speaking truth, I made the decision to make myself of no reputation, as the scriptures say in Philippians, Christ did, that if I perish, I perish. But I'm not who I was before he delivered me from that. So I have really nothing to lose, you know, in telling the truth. But I hear again and again from people, should I tell my children? Should I tell my spouse who doesn't know this? The abortion was a result of an extramarital affair. What advice and wisdom do you give women about how and when to share the truth about abortion on a personal level?
Well, I would guide women and men, because Robin Williams, who just committed suicide, actually, had an abortion in his 70s, and he wrote in his own book about that, and it appears as though he never got over it, which contributed to some of his concerns and issues in his life. So men and women regret abortion. But I would say go to Rachel's Vineyard, and it gives specific answers to those types of things. You have to be healed yourself first and then know when to share that with others and with your loved ones. And then if God gives you a public platform, be ready to step out on it. And that's where we get Silent No More Awareness Campaign, of which I am a part. So after I was healed at Rachel's Vineyard, I came home and told my children. And it was a little traumatic for them. But over the years, Philip, Jessica, and Raphael are known to my children, and they will be known to my grandchildren.
Amen. Thank you so much for being with us. And as we say goodbye, may I just ask if you would close us in prayer for our visit with you as our program will continue tonight.
Amen. Lord, cradle our hearts in your love as you have done, covered in the blood of Jesus, led by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, as we take back these airwaves from the prince of the power of the air, knowing who our Lord is, Jesus Christ, we just thank you for giving us this opportunity on the airwaves. We pray that many hearts are touched and will continue to be touched, and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Alveda King, always a joy to speak with you. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you. God bless you. Bye.
Good night. We are continuing here on Cradle My Heart Radio, and as we do, I want to talk about this subject a little bit more. We have some listener mail, and that was at the heart of a question from a listener. Who must I tell and how must I tell? And I want to hear from those of you who are healed and have answered that question for yourself. And as Alveda noted, maybe there were mixed results. Maybe it was very difficult in the short term. But there are people who need to hear your story tonight. 800-811-3003. More on that question as we continue tonight here on Cradle My Heart Radio.
Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003. Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003.
We are live tonight and would love to hear from you at 800-811-3003, particularly if you have a story to share about making the decision to tell others about an abortion in your past. It's a difficult decision. It requires wisdom and discernment. It requires counsel. Alveda King was on just minutes ago and said, you know, you need to do this in a context of ministry from people who can hear your whole story, help you get healed before you would ever consider, jeopardizing relationships or doing anything that is not going to be beneficial to yourself or people receiving the news. But tell me how that played out for you, because I concur with her advice. 800-811-3003. Have you been through that healing process, and have you told someone about an abortion that was a very difficult conversation to have? And what was the outcome? Or even beyond what was the outcome, was there a release? What was the benefit to you and the other person in doing that? Now, one of the reasons I want to hear from you tonight is to encourage those who are feeling trapped, who are feeling like maybe it is time to share this, but it just doesn't seem possible. And, you know, it's not only people of faith who struggle with that part of the aftermath of abortion. I saw on Salon.com, Slate. Slate has an advice columnist, Prudence. And there was a question this week posted. And the questioner put it this way, should I out my abortion? And so the question read, in 2006, I had an abortion. It was the right choice for me at the time, but my problem occurs when acquaintances include me in their conversations about reproductive rights. I often end up nodding along as they discuss the pros and cons of abortion or talking in hypotheticals, when in fact my own life is an example. And I think that if these people knew there was one among them, they would feel embarrassed by their comments. Is there a graceful way for me to come clean, preferably early on in the conversation, or should I stay quiet even though I feel I'm hiding or misrepresenting myself? Well, to me, the way the question is framed tells me that this person is not healed, has not fully processed the experience, and the advice, as you may not be surprised to hear, says, just as someone doesn't have to be a minority or female to express an opinion about racism or sexism, you don't have to have had an abortion in order to strongly held views on reproductive rights. Well, that's interesting, because, the feminist movement has been telling men that they can't comment on abortion because they can't get pregnant. But anyway, get back to Prudence's advice. She says, it's been interesting to hear public officials change their minds about gay marriage because they have a gay son or daughter who wants to marry. But as powerful as the personal anecdote is, policy should be based on a view about the universal nature of such rights. These debates among acquaintances, you don't owe them information about yourself. It's one thing if you want to use yourself as an example, but maybe plenty good reasons you don't. You can be sure that you may express your beliefs, keep your own reproductive history private. Well, that's an interesting answer as far as it goes. The question is, what if the abortion impacts somebody personally? Another child, again, or your spouse, or the grandparents of the missing child. How have you worked this out in your own life? 800-811-3003 is our phone number, and I would love to have you share your story to give encouragement to those who are pondering this question, maybe even making a decision along these lines tonight. We had some listener mail about this, and of course, if you want to ever send in a question that way rather than have your voice appear on the air, that's all right, although we, of course, prefer to speak with you live. And it gives the other callers a chance to come out of isolation, even in just listening to you. So I do encourage you to call. But we've had a lot of listener mail this week, including an email. And the listener shared the story that she was having an extramarital affair. This was a family friend, so he was known to their children. And there was a one-time encounter that resulted in a pregnancy, that resulted in an abortion. And now, decades later, she feels troubled that her children don't know this important detail about her life. And since they're grown and they're Christian, they have been raised in the faith, should she tell them? What would you say? 800-811-3003. What would you say to that first letter writer from Slate.com who doesn't bring faith into her question? How would you help her understand that this is a question of faith? 800-811-3003 is our number. Again, 800-811-3003. I want to share with you some other listener mail. We got many, many calls about our guest last week, Rhonda Barnes, the author of From a Mess to a Message. Many just saying thank you for having her on the show. Her book is truly powerful, even those of us who have different messes in our lives than abortion. And I've got multiple messes, let me put it that way. But Rhonda was very kind to provide us with books. And if you'll go to cradlemyheart.org, we'll put some notice on the website about how you can win a copy of From a Mess to a Message this week. And we also had a letter in the mail, snail mail, from David, who wrote to our affiliate station in Georgia, WMBV. Just a note to say, I'm glad Cradle My Heart Radio is now heard on your station. It's a much-needed ministry in our nation. Keep up the good work of the ministry. And we really thank you for taking the time to send a note in, David. I appreciate that. 800-811-3003 is our number. How would you answer someone who says, I have an abortion in my past. I don't know if my family needs to know, but I'm feeling a need to tell them. What would you say? 800-811-3003. And we have a caller ready to go. Let's go back to the phones. Danielle, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Hello.
Hi. Go ahead, please. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. I was just calling. Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Go right ahead.
Okay. I was just going to let you know that I went through Ms. Barnes' aftermath class. Hello?
There may be a problem with your phone reception. Can you stay in one spot? Because it was kind of fading in and out as you moved.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I went through Ms. Barnes' aftermath class.
Okay.
And I had an abortion about 11 years ago. And for several years, I suffered from depression from my abortion. And after several years of not, you know, dealing with it, I was found Ms. Barnes I found a number in a magazine that was talking about abortion, and I called it and went to several different numbers, and finally got a hold of someone who said that they wanted to me to take a class, and I was able to get a hold of Ms. Barnes and was able to take the class. And I just can't even really say in words to describe the healing that I received from that class. It totally has changed my life, and I'm actually now telling others my story, and I'm going to start helping other girls heal and hopefully get to be able to speak to girls who are considering abortion. So it's kind of let them know what can happen and the effects from it.
So for people who didn't hear the program last week and hear that ministry described, what do you think was the most important thing that allowed a release for you to be able to feel free to speak about it? I'm guessing you were like me, that before you had that a group or found the support, it was probably your most closely held secret.
Yes, ma'am, and I can tell you exactly what it was. It was actually when I realized that God had forgiven me. I think whenever I finally came to grasp with that, because He's forgiven our sins as far as from the east to the west. When I realized I had been set free. That just made me see clearly that I'd been set free, and it's okay. You can talk about it because God has forgiven you, and it just totally opened doors for me, and I'm totally comfortable talking about it now. I don't have to feel like I'm being judged because it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It's because God's forgiven me.
Mm. Amen, and praise God for that. And I think, you know, Danielle, at the heart of that forgiveness for me was understanding that I'm loved, that, you know, all of the fear of rejection and all of the fear that I would lose approval or all of the shame was replaced by this deep knowledge of God's love for me. And that changes everything.
Yes, absolutely. And I would just like to encourage anyone listening that it's okay to talk about it. You don't have to be ashamed, and God will forgive you, and you can move on from that. And it, because I know if I can, then anyone can. And I just want to encourage people to find someone to talk to. There are different resources out there. And reach out and find something if you need to talk to somebody. Absolutely. Now,
and have you shared this with your family members, with the people close to you?
Yeah, most of them know about it. It is just recent that I've started going public with it, you know, like to you know, my church and friends and stuff, you know. But most of my family does know, yes, ma'am.
And were there any real surprises when you shared that with them?
Not necessarily. And I think it's just the way I tell my story, you know, and just explain everything from the beginning to the end. Because my abortion, actually, I was kind of pressured. And in the beginning, pretty hard. But that's another thing about the class. It taught me the responsibility to kind of take it, you know, take my responsibility and my part in it, too. When I tell my story, I don't think there's really any surprises. I think people are pretty much supportive. And I think that's what people will be surprised about once they, you know, tell people what happened and stuff, you know.
Hmm. Thank you, Danielle. I appreciate it. Thank you for encouraging those who have not yet found the healing that God desires each one of us to have. Appreciate your calling tonight. Thanks for being with us. It's time for a short break. And yes, you know, accountability, what Danielle was talking about at the end there, accountability is hugely important. And I have a word about that for you when we come back from the break. Phones are open, 800-811-3003. Join us. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
Thank you for being with us tonight. We really appreciate you making your choice for Cradle My Heart Radio. And CradleMyHeart.org is where you can learn all of our program information about upcoming guests. And when we're referencing former guests, you can go and find our podcasts that are posted online at CradleMyHeart.org. If you missed a guest, you may want to go and listen to some of the former interviews. We are closing in on our second anniversary of being on the air, and so we've had close to 100 broadcasts, and there have just been, each one of them, another facet of the healing journey back to God's love after abortion. And so I hope that you'll take advantage of those resources. We'll post, if you're just joining us, we'll post our interview with Reverend Alveda King coming up tomorrow. You'll be able to access that online and listen. And here's a program note for you about the coming week. And by the way, Reverend King talked about Carol Everett, who worked in the abortion industry and then became a pro-life champion. And Carol Everett is going to be a guest on this program for the Labor Day weekend. It'll be a replay of an earlier interview. Carol Everett is going to be the keynote speaker at a pregnancy center fundraiser coming up in Georgia. And if you want the details about that, I'll be the MC for that event. Looking forward to it very much. And so my friends in the Georgia area, please come and see us. That'll be at the end of the month, next month. And the details are posted on our Facebook page at facebook.com/cradlemyheart. But next week, we're going to be talking with Robin Jones Gunn. And if you are a fan of the Christy Miller series, you are really going to enjoy this visit with Robin, because she has served as a mentor for Alyssa Joy Bethke. And together now, these two women who are a generation apart are writing about having a healthy, godly relationship for young women. And the question they ask is, you know, how different would our lives be if we actually believed that we are loved and wanted, pursued and cherished? How different would your life be if you really, really believed that? Robin will help unwrap the ancient truths from God's Word about what it means to be loved, to be sought after, and to be spoken for. That's their new book, Robin Jones Gunn, writing with Alyssa Joy Bethke, Spoken For, Embracing Who You Are and Whose You Are. We're going to talk about how to build healthy and godly relationships next week on Cradle My Heart Radio. And again, Christy Miller fans, you guys don't want to miss this one. And apparently that's how the mentoring relationship came about between Robin and Alyssa. And so I'm thrilled to be able to bring her to you. And then again, the Labor Day weekend, we'll replay our visit with Carol Everett. Tonight we're talking about listener mail from someone wanting to know, do I need to tell my children, who are now grown and are Christian, about the abortion in my past that was a result of marital infidelity and a one-time visit with a person that was known to them and whom they esteemed very highly, a family friend? How would you answer this? 800-811-3003 is our number. We have a few minutes remaining for you to share wisdom, your thoughts about this, your prayers. Maybe God's given you a verse of scripture to help lead this listener. Whenever you share a story like that with me through an email, which is what this listener did last week, please know that I do respond personally, and I keep all of your information confidential always in terms of anything that might identify you on the air. But I thought this was a question that I get often enough that I wanted to open it up to you, our listeners, because I know many of you have been on the healing journey. Many of you have made that decision to tell family members, to disclose to someone you never disclosed it to and never imagined you would be able to. So if you want to share a story about that, please do join us at 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003. If you have a question you need help, you maybe would like a referral for a post-abortion ministry in your area, please just visit cradlemyheart.org and use the contact form to get in touch with us there. Again, I am the person who opens those emails, and you can be assured that your information will be held in the strictest confidentiality and privacy. We did have another listener email this week that I wanted to share with you also. It's not really the same topic, but it's one that I think I want to end with, because I want to lift this up in prayer. The listener wrote, I was wondering if you can speak about or have someone speak about a replacement child. I seem to find myself seeking my child, wanting and waiting for my child. Every month, my body gives me pregnancy signs, even though I protect myself from becoming pregnant. And then the anxiety and fear begin again. She writes, I don't know what to do. I know that no child can be replaced, but I feel that it's God's will and His plan for me that I have another child. And I already have three children and fear we may not be able to financially take on a fourth, but the fears and anxieties just won't let me take that next step. Please, keep me in your prayers and share any advice that you have. And my heart really went out to this listener with this question, because I think that if you understand that children are forever from conception, we understand the anguish that she is going through, because on some important levels, this child lives. This child lives in eternity with our Creator and with our Savior. That's my deeply held belief, and I believe Scripture affirms it. If you struggle with that notion, I always recommend a little book called Safe in the Savior's Arms by Reverend John MacArthur to help you understand what the Scriptures really say about God's heart and the mercy, and how nothing in God's Word prevents Him receiving the children back to Himself. As Jesus said, "Let the little children come to Me." I think this longing that we feel reflects the eternal nature of our children. And I think that our highest hope is that our own redemption means we will meet them one day. But as to life here, short of heaven, and having to bear that grief, this is one of the most important reasons that you can pursue your healing in a post-abortion ministry, because there are healing rituals that you can take with people who will understand and help you put your child to rest, help you grieve in a healthy way, allowing Jesus Christ to be our bridge of heavenly hope. It is not His plan that we would be trapped in a loop of denial and despair. That is not God's plan for us, although it's what so easily happens after abortion. If you need help to find a group, you can go to cradlemyheart.org, look on the right sidebar, and you'll see a list of organizations, starting with one of the very first ones listed there, Abortion Recovery International. You can call the option line, which is answered 24/7, 365 days out of the year, and get linked with help so that you can start on your own journey of healing and sort through the complicated mourning. That's an actual term that mental health professionals use, that there is complicated grief, and it absolutely occurs to us after abortion. And I pray that you will take that step, that you will reach out to those who can help you, and you will do it sooner rather than later. By the way, the option line phone number, if you're feeling you're ready to call tonight, it's 800-712-HELP, H-E-L-P, 800-712-HELP. Don't suffer in silence any longer. Thank you so much for making Cradle My Heart part of your evening tonight. Know that we are praying for you. Know that God loves you, and nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. I'm Kim Cotola. Visit us online at cradlemyheart.org. Join us next week with our guest, Robin Jones Gunn, and stay in touch. We'd love to hear from you. Follow us on Twitter and get all of our daily and weekly updates, and also links to healing resources, so that you can begin the new life that God has in mind for you, yes, even after abortion. Remember, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be praying. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Cradle My Heart. For more information about this show, you can visit our Cradle My Heart program page on myfaithradio.com.